Well, how about we start with a word of prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can come to here tonight, and I thank you for each person that is here. We pray that, Lord, as your word is open and we consider you and what you do and can do in people's lives, that, Father, it would be a blessing to us and a challenge. I pray that your work will be done, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read a verse to you that is a little strange when you read it without knowing the context. It's about a man whose name isn't given. We don't know his name, but this is what we read. It's in the Gospel of Luke, but you don't need to turn there. It said, "Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." That's an interesting verse. We see here of a man who wasn't doing anything particularly out of the ordinary. It says that people came out and they saw him sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Now, that wasn't an uncommon thing in those days. Thousands of people had done this. Thousands of people wanted to hear what the Lord Jesus had to say. And so they would go and they would sit at his feet and listen to what he had to say. It also says that he was clothed. And that is not something out of the ordinary either. I would suggest that I'd say everybody who sat and listened to the Lord Jesus was clothed as well. But we have that described to us that he was sitting and clothed listening to Jesus. But it also says that he was in his right mind. He wasn't some lunatic running around, unable to sit still or not interested in what Jesus was saying. But he was just a normal man, sane, sitting there listening to what Jesus had to say. I suggest that there were some people in those days who thought anyone who went to listen to the Lord Jesus mustn't be sane. Who would want to listen to someone like that? But we do have here declared that he was in his right mind. He knew what he was doing when he was sitting there listening to Jesus. So we're given a very ordinary picture, something that lots of people had done while Jesus was on the earth. All of his disciples would do this. In fact, there were times when thousands sat and listened to what Jesus had to say. But we read here in this verse that when the people from the town came out and saw this man, it says that they were afraid. Afraid. Now, I don't know what type of things this generated in them. I don't know if their knees knocked together or if their stomach started to turn or if they got shivers up their spine or the hair on the back of their neck started to stand up or their heart started to pump a little bit faster. But whatever it is, when they saw that picture of this man sitting, listening to Jesus, it scared them. Now the question is, why? Why would this picture of a man sitting, listening to Jesus, scare them? Well, you see, when you know the context around this verse, you discover that this wasn't any ordinary man. In fact, he was the town joke, I guess you could call it, at those days. Everybody knew this man. Everybody had a story to tell about this man. In fact, most of the stories that they told about this man were scary stories. Because before this day, he had been a madman. He had been a very scary, crazy, wild madman that no one wanted to go near or have anything to do with. You know, when you have those movies and there's that scary man that lives in the forest and everyone is fearful of him and everyone has a story to tell about him. Well, this is what this man was like. Everyone was scared. The only difference is, not only were the children scared of him, but the adults were scared of him as well. I know when I was growing up, we lived on a campsite. There were, like, we had 500 acres and most of it was bush. But the neighbour was a man by the name of Mr. Baker. And there were stories all around town about Mr. Baker, because he had this house in the middle of the woods, and he was this creepy looking man. I know me and my friends, after school sometimes, we would go and we would creep through the bush and we would try and see what was happening over at Mr. Baker's house. And I don't know if it was just coincidence or not, but every time we went there, we would hear a motorbike start up and like a motorbike coming towards us. And we were sure that he was chasing us on his motorbike. So we would run as fast as we could through the bush to get away from this crazy man that was after us. Well, that's Mr. Baker. My dad told me he was actually a very nice man, all right, later on in life. But that was the stories. Well, that's what this man was like, but the stories were true. Now, we're introduced to this man. If you turn to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 5, we read about him. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Let's see what it says. It says, in verse 1, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." And so this is this creepy, scary man that everyone was afraid of. And here we see that prior to the Lord Jesus, he was a very scary man. Says that he lived in the tombs. I don't hang around the cemeteries very often, but I suspect that if you were to go down there at night, it would be a little scary or spooky at the best of times. But this man didn't just hang around there, he lived in the tombs. He lived in those caves where they would bury people. And it says there also in verse 2 that he was a man with an unclean spirit. Not meaning that he was a terrible sinner, but he had unclean spirits in the realm of demons within him. Fallen angels, demons. And we know from the Word of God that if we allow ourselves to be opened up to this exposure, demons will take the opportunity to come and dwell within the body of a person. We read in the Gospels of many who were possessed with devils, and that happens. It happens even today. They're not allowed to just come and dwell in someone. You have to give them opportunity to do so. And that's why you have to be very careful not to play with things that open you up to opportunities like that. Don't play with the witchcraft of our day, or the occult, or seances, or Ouija boards, or devilish music and drugs. These things open you up to the devil and the occult. And there are many people that have to experience terrible things within their life because of demonic beings that they have opened themselves up to. And obviously this man had done this and given entrance to demons in some way or another. And the demons, it says, would tear this man and hurt him or torment him. It says there in verses 3 to 4, "who had his dwelling among the tombs, And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and neither could any man tame him. This man had been tormented, and not even chains could slow him down. They couldn't tame him. No one could help him. He was a madman running around the tombs. And if we read about this man in another passage, it says that he was naked running around the tombs. And it says that at night and at day, he was in the mountains crying and cutting himself with stones, as it says there. And I'm sure at night when people would lay themselves down to bed, in those days it would have been very dark, a lot darker than it is today. It would have been very quiet. There wasn't the noise of traffic and so on. And if you lived in the country, you can hear things from a long way away, especially if there are mountains, which we know here. And as people would lay down to bed, they would hear the cries of this man coming from the tombs and the caves. And people could hear him screaming and crying out. And I would imagine the children would go and snuggle up with their mother and father and be scared and say, "That crazy man is yelling out again, Mom and Dad. Why is he yelling out? What's wrong with him?" And they would hear the terrible sounds that were going on. This would have been a creepy time at night for most people. Would have been a creepy atmosphere when they heard this man like this. I know when I lived on the farm and my boss and his family would go away, everything seemed to be a lot noisier when you're there by yourself. And to hear foxes crying out in the paddocks, and they sound like a little baby crying. And it's very spooky, you know, when you're there by yourself. I remember hearing how there was a time that just about 20 kilometres away there was a farmer shot dead. And the report was that it was around about 2 in the morning and the dogs went wild and he went out to see what was happening, and when he went out, someone just shot him dead. And that was when the boss was away on holidays, and that about 2 nights later, it was about 2 o'clock, and the dog started to go crazy. Yeah, you know, and I'm thinking, oh no. Oh, and I wasn't going to go out there to see if someone wanted to shoot me dead. And so I was just lying there, and the dogs just went crazier and crazier. And I had a gun sitting right next to my bed in those days, just in case. And then I heard this. I lived in this little, it was a woodshed. It wasn't very big, but they decked it out for me. And I had one little window, and it had a vine hanging over it. And I'm lying there petrified. And then I heard someone pulling on the vine. Someone was out there pulling on the vine. I'm thinking, my heart was about to come through my chest. And it was like they were just there out in the window. So I snuck up and I looked over the window, and there was a big head looking right back at me. And I just fell back on the bed. I thought I was going to die. And then I looked up again, and it was a cow looking inside. And I went out, and it was the cows had got out of the paddock, and that's walking down the road, and that's why the dogs were barking. And this cow had come, and it was pulling on the vine, eating the vine, and then it decided to look through the window. All right, so I nearly died that night, but not from whoever was out there to get me, just from sheer terror. And I don't know if that's probably the sort of terror that these people were feeling when they heard this crazy man yelling. And everyone knew that he was out of control. They couldn't bind him. They wanted to bind him with chains and pack him away, but he would break loose. No one could help him. Nothing they could do could help this man. But things are about to change because Jesus came to that town. And I can't help thinking that Jesus came so he could meet this man. And we read that as soon as Jesus got off the ship to the land of this town, he met this man. In verse 6 it says, "And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him." So this man saw Jesus and he made a beeline to him. And I could just imagine people thinking, what is this crazy man doing? Can you turn that fan down, please, Stephen, that you turn on? What is this crazy man doing in the midst of everything? And then he ran to Jesus and he bowed down before him and worshipped him. And Jesus began to talk, not to the man himself, but to the actual demons that were inside the man. And it says there in verses 7 to 14 this, "And cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done." And so Jesus, when this man came before him, instead of talking to the man himself, he spoke to the unclean spirits that were inside him. And he said, "What's your name?" And he said, "Legion, because we're many." That means that there were over 1,000 unclean spirits in this man. No wonder he was tormented. And through his great power, because he's the Son of God, Jesus commanded the evil spirits to come out of him. And they obeyed. You know, that's the wonderful thing I see there, is that despite being so great and powerful as unclean spirits, they were afraid of the Lord Jesus. They knew who he was. They knew he was the Son of God that had come to earth. And they were afraid of him and they begged him to have mercy upon them. And after this meeting, all of a sudden, this man's life changed completely after the demons left. Because after he cast them out, we're told that this man sat down and he listened to the Lord Jesus. And now, the people who had owned the swine, they went into the town, they told them what had happened, and the town comes out. And this is what they saw. They saw that verse that I read at the beginning. They saw a man sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And they were scared. You see, everything changed for this man. Before he met the Lord Jesus, he hung around the dead. Now he was hanging around the living. Before he met Jesus, he ran around and wasn't able to be tamed. Now, he sat quietly listening to the Lord Jesus. Before he met Jesus, he had no clothes. After he met Jesus, he was clothed. Before he met Jesus, he was crazy and out of his mind. Now he was in his right man. He was completely different. What was the difference? He met the Lord Jesus. You know, I imagine if we had a testimony time right now, for some people, they would be able to say that if people of the past who knew them, knew you, came into this building and saw you sitting here listening to the preaching of God's word, they too would be amazed. They would know that before, when they knew you, you were very different to what you are now. The places where you would be on a Sunday night is very different to being here. The way that you're dressing now would be very different to the way that you dressed back then. Your attitude towards the Lord and God now is very different to what it was back then. They could see that there was some amazing changes that have taken place in your life. Just like happened to this man. Now, you'd like to think if people saw the way that you were back then and they see the way that you are now, they would be excited. And they'd say, what is the secret? Isn't this exciting? What do you have that I haven't got? But unfortunately, often people react the same way to us when this happens to what happened with this man, and that is, they get scared. They think, whoa, what has happened to you? This is scary. You go to church, you wear nice clothes to church, you hang around Christians, these weird people. You don't do this anymore, you don't do that anymore. Something strange has happened. And they get scared. And that's exactly what happened. When the people saw this man, they came to the town, out of the town, and they saw this man, and it scared them. He was sitting, listening, in his right mind, clothed. It should have been something they rejoiced about, but instead, they were scared. And I believe the reason being, they knew that a man who could change such a crazy, wild person like this must have great power. Power that scared them. So much power that they didn't want to be around him. In fact, they wanted him to leave their shores. Because if we read on in verses 16 and 17, it says, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray, or to ask Jesus to depart out of their coast. And so instead of seeing what Jesus had done to this man and saying, Jesus, you must be powerful. Who are you? Please do something in our life. Instead, they said, will you get away from us? They wanted him to leave. And then look what happened in verses 18. It says, and when he was come into the ship, and so Jesus went back into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. And so he wanted to go with the Lord Jesus. Please, Jesus, can I hop in the ship and can I go with you? And it says there in the first part, howbeit Jesus suffered him not. And so Jesus said, no, I don't want you to go or come with me. You know, I think that's a bit sad when you read that. The man that saved him from his torment and had changed his life was told to leave the country, leave their area. And what was this man's response? He wanted to go with him. Jesus had changed his life. Jesus had changed him completely and taken away that torment where he would cut himself and he'd cry and scream and he was in sorrow continually, and now he had to leave, and so he wanted to go with Jesus. There's no way he wanted to leave him behind. But Jesus said a very strange thing. As Jesus is sitting in the boat, possibly this man's got one foot in the boat to want to go with him, he says, I'm coming too. Jesus said, no, I don't want you to come. I want you to stay here. You see, Jesus had a job for him to do. Because Jesus goes on and says this in verse 19, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion on thee. And it says, go home and tell your friends. This shows me that this man wasn't always like this. shows me that he had grown up in this town and he had friends, family, relatives, and people knew him to be just like them, and then somehow he got caught up in some occultish way of life and these demons took control of him and possessed him and then tormented him, so much so that he was had to flee out of the town, and people knew what he was like and then saw what he became. He had friends, and I dare say they would say, just say his name was Barry. Have you seen Barry lately? No, I've heard him. He's still up there. Oh, that's sad what happened to him. Oh, I can't believe it. But Jesus says, go to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. Go and tell them. You know, this reminds me often of often when you go on a camp and the Lord does a wonderful work in someone's life, a young person's heart. And most of the time they say, I just wish we could stay on camp for the rest of our life. I don't want to go back home and have to put up with all those things. I don't want to go to school and have to go through all that harassment. I just want to stay here on camp. It's nice here. But they know they've got to go, because God has a job for them to do as well. And Jesus had a job for him. And this is what he did, because it says in verse 20, and he departed, and he began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And I'm sure that no one could deny that Jesus had done something marvelous for this man. And Jesus had changed him. He went, I would say, from house to house. He went to his relatives. He went to his friends. He went to his neighbors. And he said, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. And there is no denying what had happened. And everyone marveled. Here was this crazy man who had no hope in life, completely changed, and now he was normal. Probably more normal than them. And instead of being in torments and screaming, he was full of joy and happiness, singing, telling everyone the wonderful news that Jesus had saved him from the torment of Satan. And you know, people must have listened. And they must have been impressed and amazed and convinced that Jesus was truly the Son of God, because their attitude changed completely. Because before, they wanted Jesus to leave. But if we read on it, it doesn't make it clear that this is the same place. But in other passages, we discover that what happened was, Mark tells us the story where he went, and then he came back again. And we see the attitude of the people when Jesus came back. It says in verse 21, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, this is talking about how he's come back now, much people gathered unto him. And he was nigh unto the sea, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death, and I pray thee, come and lay thy hand on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And so, see the difference? When Jesus was there the first time, they say, get away, you're too scary. Then this man who Jesus changed went and told them one wonderful news, what Jesus had done. And now when Jesus is back, the people thronged him. Everyone wanted to meet this Lord Jesus and see what he could do for them. And so the man did a great job in showing the people the great things Jesus had done. Jesus changed him, freed him, and gave him joy. And he wanted to tell everyone about it. And you know, young people and old people, there's only one person that can free us from Satan's hold. When we're born captive to Satan. Some are more captive than others in the sense it's the captivity is seen more for some. For those who open themselves up to Satan's devices through the demonic realm or through the drug realm or through other ways, you see the destructive measure that Satan can have on a life and on a person. Others may be able to stay away from a lot of those things, but Satan still has them captive. There is the torment of their sin within their soul. And there's only one person that can set us free, and that is Jesus Himself. Understanding that He left heaven's glory, and He came and He died on a cross and bore all the punishment for our sins so we can be free. So He can break the power of Satan over us. And when a person receives Jesus as their Savior, they are set free. It says that we're taken from the power of darkness and we're placed into the family of God where He becomes our loving Heavenly Father. And there can be and there should be joy and freedom in Christ. That's a wonderful story. And anyone who has trusted Christ has that story to tell. And for those that may have been saved a little bit later on life, they will have friends who will be able to see what they were like in the past and now what they are like in the present, and they will see there are changes. And if that's happened to you, don't just praise God and be thankful for the change He's made in your life. But you have a job to do just like this man did. Go tell your friends, hey, Jesus has changed me. I know I was like this, but now I'm like this. You know, I know for myself, I grew up in a Christian home, as most of you are, and I was an idiot, and I rejected it, and I lived as an unsaved person because I was for many years. And all throughout my school life, people saw me as just like them, if not a little bit worse. When I got right with the Lord, I had determined that one day I would make amends for that. And Linda could attest to that. We had a 20-year reunion. It was our year 10, 20-year reunion. And so rather than being 16, I was 36. And I made a point when anyone said anything to me, they'd ask me, what are you doing? I'm a pastor. Wow. I'm a Christian. Wow. And they could see the difference. I'm not going to go into the details, but Linda, as she went away, said, wow, you were really different back then, weren't you? And I was. But I wanted them to know that Jesus had changed me. And that's what we should be wanting to do. Let me tell you the news, how Jesus had changed me. And this man's friends at first didn't want to know the Lord Jesus or have anything to do with Him. Now they flocked around Him. And that's what we can all do when the Lord Jesus has changed us. I trust you have met the Lord Jesus and He has saved you and rescued you from that dominance that Satan had in your life. And if He has, I trust you're doing your job of telling others as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this night. Thank You that the Lord Jesus is still in the business of changing lives. I pray that, Lord, if there are those who are still in that bondage to sin and Satan, that, Lord, You will challenge them and how they can be free like this man. I pray that all of us would have that desire to tell our friends and family of the wonderful things that Jesus has done for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.